The second parak is going to contrast with the first parak, which discussed when we had invalid korbanos, when nonetheless was there a problem of me'ila. In our parak now, we are going to talk about korbanos that are valid, that don't have those disqualifications that we talked about in the prior parak. And we're primarily going to focus on the timing. When does the me'ila kick in, and when does the problem of me'ila end? And we're going to start talking about offerings of birds, bird offerings. We're going to talk about Mishnah Aleph, Chatas Ha'of, Mishnah Beis. We're going to talk about the Olas Ha'of. Those are the two types of bird offerings that we have. Either it's a Korban Chatas for a sin, or an Ola. Ola is totally burned up. None of it is eaten by the Kohanim. And Mishnah Aleph, as we said, is about the Chatas. There it's important that the meat is eaten by the Kohanim. And thereafter, starting from Mishnah Gimel, we're going to talk about various offerings of animals, and we'll take it from there. So Mishnah Aleph starts out with the Chatas Ha'of. And just a little bit background about Chatas Ha'of, there are three different stages in the preparation when it comes to the dam, when it comes to the blood. And the first stage is we do the melika. Melika is like shchita on an animal, but it's done on a bird from the back, not from the front, from the throat, but the back of the head. And instead of a knife, the Kohen would use his thumbnail to do the melika. So that is going to be stage number one. Stage number two is called hazaa, which is sprinkling of the blood. The Kohen would hold the bird's body after the melika and wave it up and down, swing it around, and that some of the blood will spray onto the mizbeach. And the third level after hazaa is the mitzui, which is squeezing the coin with the blood that was left, would squeeze where the neck has been severed onto the wall of the mizbeach, whatever blood remains. So those are the three levels. And we're going to divide up our Mishnah into three different time periods. Time period number one, Mishnah Aleph, Chatas Ha'of, when we're talking about this Chatas Ha'of, Mo'alin ba mishekuktisha, mi'ila kikshin, when somebody is makdish that bird. That is, even if they simply say bepeh, verbally, this is now going to be my Chatas Ha'of. This bird is going to be my Chatas Ha'of. Right then, at that point, the bird is still alive. If somebody has personal benefit from that bird, that is an Isser of Me'ila. Level number two doesn't relate to Me'ila, but it relates to other issues. Nimlaka, if somebody at that point, the Kohen does the Melika on that bird, so that has halachic consequences as well, as follows. Now that the bird is no longer alive, it can become Tameh. Huchshu, it becomes subject to Lihipasel, to become Tameh. Bitfulyom, if somebody is a Tfulyom, that is somebody who had a level of Tuma and went to Mikvah, but has to wait until night in order to be fully clean, fully pure. We're talking about somebody who does not have to bring korbanos the next day. That is going to be umechusar kipurim. Somebody who had a certain tuma, went to mikvah, waited for Harev Shemis, waited for the sun to set, but still, like a zav or a zava, certain types of tuma, they have to wait to bring a korban the next day. And then we're talking about touch the bird. So in both of those situations, nimlaka after the malika, we have the carcass of the bird. If somebody who is a tful yom or mechusar kipurim touches it, that is going to make that bird tame. And in addition, the third is ubelino. Lina means that they did the malika, but did not do the hazaa until after sunset. That has to be done the same day, and they waited, they just did the melika and didn't continue in the processing of that bird korban, so that also will cause it to be puzzled. That will invalidate that bird. So again, once the melika happens, if a tful yom, a mechusar kipurim touches it, it invalidates that bird offering. Or lina, if they didn't move forward with the hazaa before sunset, that will invalidate that bird offering as well. That isn't, though none of these are me'ila issues per se, but level number three, time period number three, is going to be a me'ila issue. Huza dama, they move forward, they did the hazaa during the same day, during the proper day, so malik hazaa before sunset. At that point, that is like the zrika of the blood of an animal. So at that point, chayavin alecha, there would be an obligation, a chiyuv of karis mishum pigul. If in the processing of that bird, for example, if the malika was done with the person doing the malika, thinking that I am going to do various activities, chutz lizmano, as we talked about in the prior parak, for example, I'm going to eat the the meat outside of the proper time, or I'm going to burn the bird on whatever has to be burned out of the proper time. Whatever it may be, this is a pigul psul of the animal. It's a chutz lizmano. And if somebody would eat it, even within the proper time, but that animal, that bird, is a pigul, that's chayev karis, or no sar. If it was a kosher offering of the bird, but it was left over, some of the meat was left over after the proper time, and somebody ate it thereafter, that is a chayev karis also. Or if it tame, if somebody was tame ate it, that would be a problem, ate the meat, that would be a chayev karis also. And in any case, ve'ein ba'me'ila, once you do the chuzah dama, once the hazah, the sprinkling of the blood, is done on this chatas ha'ov, at that point there's no longer going to be any mi'ila, because that's when the meat becomes permitted to be eaten. It's no longer what we saw in the prior parak, that it's kuktash l'Hashem, that is exclusively owned by Hashem. At this point, once becomes permitted, like we saw with the animal, once you do the zrika, the meat becomes permitted. When we have kodesh kodashim, so to hear, once we have the hazah, the meat becomes permitted. There is no longer a me'ila on that meat. Mishnah Beis is going to be fairly similar to the prior Mishnah with two significant differences and just a little bit background. Now we're going to be talking about the Ola Sa'of as opposed to the Chata Sa'of. So difference number one is when it came to the Chata Sa'of, we said that in preparation of the bird, there are three stages, the Malika, the Hazah, that's the sprinkling of the blood, and also the Mitzui, the squeezing of the blood on the wall on the Mizbeach. When it comes to the Ola Sa'of, there are actually only two stages, and that's the first stage, the Malika, and the third stage, which is the squeezing of the blood on the Mizbeach, but there's no Hazah, there is no sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach. So we're going to skip that stage. So that's going to be difference number one. And difference number two here is fundamental difference is that the mi'ila of the bird, the mi'ila on the meat of the bird, will continue even after the mitzui is done. Why is that? Because we're talking now about an olas ha'of. An olas ha'of, the meat doesn't become permitted to the kohen. All of the meat is burnt on the mizbeach. And accordingly, there's not a time that it becomes permitted to kohanim that it would cause the mi'ila to go away. So accordingly, because the meat is not going to be eaten, it's going to be burnt, the mi'ila prohibition will continue, and that's going to be difference number two, huge difference number two, or maybe it's a ramification of what we're talking about now, is that the mi'ila will only end way later, after the full completion of the bird offering. And we'll see at the end of the Mishnah what that means. So the two differences, number one is that the Chatas Ha'ov had those three stages of preparation. The Olas Ha'ov only had two stages of preparation. And number two is that the Mi'ila on the Olas Ha'ov will not go away at the Mitzui stage. It's going to continue all the way until the end when the mitzvah is totally completed on that ola, as we will see at the end of the Mishnah. So Mishnah Beis says as follows. Again, we are dividing into three different time periods. Ola sa'of mo'alimba misha huktisha. The ola sa'of, the mi'ila, kicks in immediately when somebody consecrates that bird. Even if he verbally just states, this bird is going to be my ola sa'of, immediately if somebody would have hana'a, personal benefit from it, that was violating the prohibition of mi'ila. Number two, time period number two, Nimlaka, at the time the Malika is done on that bird, Huchshara li pasal betfuyam of a mechusar kipurim of a lina, as we saw in the prior Mishnah, at that point, the bird is no longer alive, it can become tame. Accordingly, at the Malika, it is now subject to becoming invalid if a tfuyam touches it, as we explained in the prior Mishnah, if a mechusar kipurim touches it, or belina as well. That means if the squeezing of the blood is not done on the Mizbeach by sunset, that will disqualify that bird as well. And stage number three, mitzah dama, if the mitzui of the blood was done, the squeezing of the blood on the mizbeach, chayavin alea mishum pigol noser v'tame. At that point, if somebody would eat the meat and it would became a pigol, if it were a pigol situation, there would be a chayav kares. If he ate it later than the allotted time, that is noser chiyuv kares. And if he is tame and ate the meat also, that would be a chiyuv kares. And the big difference again here that we discussed at the introduction to this Mishnah, umoa linba, in the prior Mishnah when it came to the Chatas Ha'ov, we said there is not going to be a Mi'ila, ve'ein ba Mi'ila at the way end of Mishnah Aleph. Why is there not a Mi'ila? Because when it comes to the Chatas Ha'ov, the meat at the after the sprinkling and the squeezing of the blood, it becomes permitted to the Kohen, and accordingly Mi'ila goes away. Here the meat does not become permitted even after the squeezing of the blood, because it has to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Accordingly, Mo'alin Ba, the Mi'ila prohibition continues Ad Sheteitzei LeBeis HaDashen, until the full completion of the mitzvah of burning of the Ola, which means it's after it's burnt on the Mizbeach, Truma Sadeshin is done, that is the taking off some of the ash, and this is actually the mitzvah here is Hotzah Sadeshin. This is removing the ash from the Mizbeach, that would include the ash of this Olas Haf. It moves, Kohanim would move it out of, to a place outside of Yerushalayim. It's known as the Beis Hadeshin, and at that point, and only at that point, that the mitzvah of the Olas Ha'of has been completed, then and only then the Isser of Mi'ila goes away. Mishnah Gimel starts talking about animal offerings as opposed to the bird offerings that we discussed in Mishnah Aleph and Mishnah Beis. And we're going to start Mishnah Gimel with Parim HaNisrafim U'Se'irim HaNisrafim. These were unique types of korbanos, and as it says, Nisrafim, they were burned outside of Yerushalayim, not as typical on the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, but they were burned at the Beis HaDeshen outside of Yerushalayim. We're not going to go into too much detail on which korbanos they were, but on a high level, Parim HaNisrafim, there were three types. One was the par, that's the bull that was brought by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur for a kapara for himself and the Kohanim. Next was the par he'elam davar, if the Sanhedrin made a certain type of mistake in a judgment, and the majority of people of Klal Yisrael followed their decision, so they would have to bring a par he'elam davar. And the third type of parim hanisrafim is the par, the bull, that was brought by a Kohen HaMashiach who made a similar mistake. So if he made such a mistake and acted upon it, he would have to bring the par Kohen HaMashiach. So all those are parim hanisrafim. Those are the bulls that are burnt outside of Yerushalayim at the Beis HaDeshen. And the Se'irim hanisrafim, those are he-goats that would be burnt also outside of the Beis HaMikdash. One was the he-goat, the Se'ir, that was brought by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur for a kapara for Klal Yisrael. And the other one was a Se'ir that was brought when there was a mistake made by the Sanhedrin as it relates specifically to Avodah Zarah. So that was the Se'ir Shal Avodah Zarah. That was also the Se'irim HaNisrafim. So we have three types of Parim HaNisrafim, two types of Se'irim HaNisrafim. All of them are Nisrafim, that is burnt on the Beis HaDeshen outside of Yerushalayim. So all of them, Mo'alim Behem Mishehukdishu, as soon as somebody's Makdish, or they were Makdish them, they were consecrated to be brought as their Korbanos, immediately there would be a prohibition of Mi'il if somebody benefited personally from the animals alive or not alive, there is a problem of mi'ila. And stage number two is not a mi'ila issue. This is the same thing we've seen in the prior Mishnayos, nishchatu, as soon as there is shchita on these animals, huchshru lehipasel bitfuyom uvemachusar kipurim uvelina, they are now subject to becoming disqualified if it's fuyom would touch the carcass or somebody's machusar kipurim, or if they didn't move forward with the zrika of the dam, sprinkling of the blood before shkia, before nightfall, that would also invalidate that animal from continuing to be brought as a korban. And level number three, time period number three, chuzah daman, if the blood was sprinkled, that is the zrikas hadam of these animals, of the parim hasrafim, hasrim hasrafim, so they got to the chuzah hadaman, the sprinkling of the blood. At that point, chayavim aleihem mishum pigul nosar v'tame, as we saw in the prior Mishnayos, now there would be a chiyuv of kares, if somebody would eat the meat, if it were a pigul situation or a nosar situation, if the person is tame. And in addition, because we are talking about animals, korbanos, that are not going to be eaten by the kohanim, accordingly, umoalim behen, the me'ila prohibition that started at the beginning of the Mishnah when somebody consecrated that animal, that mi'ila prohibition will continue. You're not allowed to benefit from these animals, from the meat of the animal. You can't eat the meat because it's not designated to be eaten by the Kohanim. It is designated to be burnt, and accordingly, mi'ila continues until when? Umo'alim ba'em be'beis hadeshin. Even when it's in the beis hadeshin itself, it's being burned to the beis hadeshin, ad she'yutach habasar, until the meat actually turns into coals. At that point, that is going to be the completion of the bringing of these karbanas. As the Bartanur says here, the important yisod shein lechadavar shenasit mitzvaso ul ma'alimba. Only when the mitzvah is done does mi'ila go away. Once the mi'ila, once the mitzvah is done, there's nothing that the mitzvah is done that a mi'ila will continue. So as soon as the meat turns into coals, that when is the mitzvah has done and the mi'ila would go away. Mishnah Dalit covers the Korban Ha'olah, which is fairly similar to what we saw in the prior Mishnah, talking about Karbanos, that the meat is not eaten by the Kohen. Accordingly, the problem, the Isra Me'ila, continues even after the Zrik of Dam, because the meat is going to be burnt. What is a little bit different about the Korban Ha'olah is that the hide of the animal does go to the Kohanim. Accordingly, at the Zrika, the meat will still have a Me'ila problem, but the hide of the animal will no longer have a Me'ila problem. Mishnah Dalit, again, divided up into the three time periods as we've seen, and almost identical to the Mishnayos we've been seeing, with minor changes for purposes of why a Korban Ha'olah is different. So, number one, Ha'olah Mo'alim Ba Misha Hukdasha, same way we've been seeing over and over, a Korban Ha'olah, there's a Isra of Me'ila as soon as the animal is consecrated, even if it's still alive, if somebody personally benefits from it. A problem of Me'ila. Time period number two, Nishchata, as soon as the Shchita is done, Huchshala Lipasa B'Tvuyom Uv'Muchusar Kippurim Uv'Lina, now the carcass is subject to becoming disqualified, to becoming Pasul, if it is touched by someone who is a Tvuyom, who is Muchusar Kippurim, or if they don't do the Zrika by nightfall, that will also invalidate the Korban. And time period number three, Nizrak Dama, they do the Zrika of the blood, so everything has been successful till now, they did the Shchita, the Holacha, the Kabbalah, and now the Zrika of the blood, Chayavim Alea Mishum Pigul, no sarvitame. At that point, if somebody would eat the meat, if it were a pigul situation, there'd be a chiyuv kares. If it's outside of the allotted time, chiyuv kares. If it's somebody's tame ate it, that would be a chiyuv kares. And here, ve'ein mo'alin be'ora, there would be no mi'ila on the or on the hide. Up until the zrika, there would have been a mi'ila on the hide, but at the time of the zrika, that it becomes an item that is given to the kohanim, there's no longer going to be a mi'ila on the hide, because it's the kohanim's, it's not designated for Hashem exclusively, no longer mi'ila. However, the main part of the animal, including the meat, avol mo'alim b'basar, atshiyetza the beis hadash, and there is going to be a mi'ila on the meat of the korban. It is burnt on the mizbeach inside the beis hamikdash, and that mi'ila will continue until it is brought out to the beis hadashen outside of Yerushalayim, and at that point, and only at that point, the mitzvah is done, the mitzvah is completed on this korban ha'olah, and accordingly, there is no longer going to be a problem of mi'ila. Mishnah Hay continues our template of when does mi'ila kick in and when does it end for various types of korbanos, and it is divided up in the same three time periods when it comes to somebody's consecrating it, when it's shechted, and this Rika Sadam. And it goes as follows. We're now talking about the Chatas, the Asham, Vizivchei Shalmei Tzibur. The Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur were two lambs that were brought with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, Mo'alin Behem Mishahukdashu. As soon as they are consecrated to be those korbanos, that is when Me'ila will start. If anyone personally benefits from any of the animals, even though they're still alive, that would be Me'ila. Stage number two, Nishchatu, as soon as any of them are shechted, Huchshru li'pasa b'tvuyom uv'mechusar kiburim uv'lina, as we've seen over and over again, that is when they become susceptible to become pasul. They are now on a higher level once there's a shechita, higher level of kedusha. Accordingly, if a tvuyom uv'mechusar kiburim would touch them, they would become pasul, disqualified, and also subject to lina, the disqualification that the Zrika has to be done. As soon as you have the Shechita, the Zrika has to be done the same day before sunset. If not, that is the Psul of Lina. And now time period number three, Nizrak Daman, when we have the Zrika of the Dam of any of them, that is when Chayavim Aleh Mishum Pigol, no Sarvetame, if at the time of the Zrika, the Kohen had in mind that he's going to eat the meat outside of the proper time. This is our classic Pigol then if somebody would eat that meat thereafter, it's only talking about a situation where the kohen did have that improper thought. If he didn't, not a problem. It's never going to become a pigul. But if he did, then if somebody eats the meat there afterward, that would be chai of karis, it's pigul. No sar eating it out of the allotted time. Tame, somebody who's tame eating the meat. So that, all those isurim kick in from the zrika, when the zrika is done, and there afterward, that is when there is a problem. Pigul, no sar, and tame. And continuing, ein moalin babasar, after the zrika is what permits the kohanim to eat the meat of the chatas asham and the ziv chesham itzibur. So once we permit the eating of the meat to the kohanim, there's no longer a mi'ila because it's not exclusively owned by the Beis HaMikdash, by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So no longer would there be an isra mi'ila on the meat itself. However, aval mo'alim be'emurin, there would still be a mi'ila on the emurin because the emurin are not going to be used by kippol. It's going to be burned on the mizbeach. So that's owned exclusively by a Kaddish Baruch Hu still. So that's why there is still a mi'ila even after this reek on the emurim. Ad sheyetzu the Beis HaDeshen, until first they're burnt on the mizbeach inside the Beis HaMikdash, and thereafter they are taken out with the ash of the mizbeach outside of Yerushalayim to the Beis HaDeshen, and at that point there's no longer going to be any problem of mi'ila. Mishnah Vav is going to sound very familiar to the prior Mishnah with limited changes, and here it's going to relate to the Shtei Halechem. What's the Shtei Halechem? So it kind of relates to the prior Mishnah where we talked about the Ziv Chai Shalmei Tzivor. Those are the two lambs brought with the Shtei Halechem. So now we are talking about the Shtei Halechem itself, and they are related intrinsically. These are both brought together. They are linked, and they're brought together on Shavuos, the two lambs, the two breads, and very interesting, the Zrika, when the Zrika is done on the Kvasim, when it's done on the lambs, that permits not only the Kohanim to eat the meat of the animals, but it also permits the Kohanim to eat the bread of the Shtei Halechem. And in fact, that's on the upside. On the downside, if there are improper thoughts, like pigul thoughts, when doing the zrika or the other stages of the lambs, that will not only disqualify the meat, and it would cause somebody who would eat the meat itself to be violating the prohibition of pigul and be chayav karis, but also if there's a pigul on the animal, for example, at the zrika part of the animals, of the lambs, that would also cause the shtei halechem, the bread, to have a pigul status, and it would be prohibited to eat, and somebody who would eat it would be chayav karis as well. So we're going to see that come out in our Mishnah Vav. Again, it's divided up in the three time periods. Shtei halechem, when it comes to the two breads that are brought on Shavuos together with the two lambs, mo'alim b'hem mushehukdeshu, when the flour is consecrated, that is when mi'ila kicks in. Before that, there will not be a mi'ila, but when it is consecrated, the flour, that is when mi'ila starts. And level number two is karmu betanor. This is like a shchita of an animal. This is when it develops a crust in the oven. When those two breads are being baked in the oven and they develop a crust, that's like the shchita. Accordingly, chuchshuru li'pasal b'tfuyam over mechusar kipurim. That is when it is susceptible to tuma if a tful yom or mechusar kipurim would touch the shtei alechem. And also v'lishchot aleim es hazavach, that is the time that now that the breads are considered baked because they have developed a crust, now is the time that you could actually do the shchita on the linked two lambs to them. So again, we see that link between the shtei alechem and the shnei kvasim and the two lambs, that we have to make sure that the breads are baked first, meaning they have developed a crust, and only then is the shechita on the two lambs done. That is level number two, time period number two. Time period number three, nizrak damam shel kvasim, that there's a zrika, when there is the zrika of the blood on the two lambs, at that point, chayavim aleichem, there would be a chiyuv on the shtei halechem nishum pigul. That means if the kohen doing this zrika on the kvasim had pigul thoughts at the time, and somebody thereafter would eat the shtei halechem, or nosar if it was eaten outside of the proper time, or if it was a tame v'tame eating the shtei halechem, in all those there would be a chayavim aleichem, there would be a chiyuv of kares. And in addition, just to add on, as it relates to mi'ila, v'ein behem mi'ila, right after the zrika of the blood of the kvasim, there's no longer going to be a mi'ila. As mentioned before, it's because the zrika permits not only the eating of the meat of the kvasim of the lambs, but also the eating of the shtei alechem. So once we permit the kohanim to be eating, there's no longer a problem of mi'ila, either on the meat, as we saw in the prior Mishnah, or on the shtei alechem, the bread itself. Mishnah Zayin continues our template that we've seen over and over in this parak, but it relates this time to the lechem hapanim. Lechem hapanim was the showbread at the time of the Beis HaMikdash that was placed on Shabbos on the shulchan that was in the Beis HaMikdash. It was actually 12 different loaves, and it was actually divided up into two stacks, six and six. And it was baked on Erev Shabbos, and the old lechem aponim was replaced on Shabbos. So they take out the old, replace it with the new that would stay there until the next Shabbos. The next Shabbos they would do that again. Now, it wasn't only the two stacks, six and six, of the lechem aponim. There's actually levona, which is sometimes translated as frankincense, that was also put onto the shulchan together with the lechem aponim. When they removed the loaves, they removed the frankincense as well. And they would, before dividing up the loaves to be eaten by the kohanim, they would have to burn the levona. So the levona was burned on the mizbeach, and only thereafterward were the loaves divided up between the kohanim, and the loaves, the lechem aponim, was eaten by the kohanim. With that in mind, Mishnah Zayin says as follows, three stages as well, lechem aponim, mo'alim bo mishu hukdas, lechem aponim, if anyone would have personal benefit from it, that mi'ila problem would start when the flour that would be used to bake the lechem aponim was consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash. So mi'hukdash from that time and onward is when the mi'ila issue prohibition would start. Level number two, time period number two, karam batanur, when they were baking the bread in the oven, as soon as it develops a crust, at that point, and that's like the shechita of an animal, chukshar lihipasal betfuyom over mechusar kipurim, at that point it would be subject, if somebody who was a tfuyom or mechusar kipurim would touch the breads, that would invalidate it, it would make it pasul. And in addition, at that point, on the positive side, ulisada al-gaba al-shulchan, that's when the bread is ready to be put onto the shulchan. So it's been baked, and now they could put it on the shulchan. They would have to wait the day. That's why it doesn't say lina here, that they would have to wait. And the prior Mishnah as well, like the other Mishnayas, that there is not a psul of lina that you have to do it the same day, because here they would bake it the day before here on Erev Shabbos, because they could not bake it on Shabbos, and they would wait overnight, and then they would put it on the shulchan on Shabbos itself. So there's no psul here of lina. But the other ramification here that we're saying is ulisad al gabe al shulchan. So it was at the time that the bread developed a crust that it was worthy to be put on the shulchan, which would be done on Shabbos, baked on Erev Shabbos, and put on Shabbos. And now stage number three. This is the next Shabbos. So they put it on Shabbos. Number one, they took out the old. Put on the new, and it would stay there all week. And the next Shabbos, they would take out what is now the old and karvu habazichin. The bazichin are the spoonsful of levona that was together with the lechem aponim all week. They would burn that on the mizbeach, and at that point, chayavin, this is like the zrika of the dam for an animal, chayavin ala mishum pigol no servitami, at that point there would be a chiyuv of pigol. When would there be a pigol if the kohen who burnt the lavona on the mizbeach, if he had pigol thoughts, then if anyone at that point afterward would eat the lechem aponim, that would be the chiyuv a pigol, that yechayev kares, or if it's eaten outside of the proper time, no sir, it wasn't eaten on Shabbos, it was eaten the next day, on Sunday, or if it was a tummy, they'd ate it, and all of those who would be chayavin Allah, there would be a chiyuv a kares. But regardless, on the upside, when the levona is burnt on the mizbeach, ein behem me'ila, there would no longer be me'ila, that's when me'ila would go away, because it's the burning of the levona on the mizbeach that would permit the kohanim to eat the lechem aponim, and as soon as that happens, there is no longer a me'ila. Mishnah Ches continues our template, but now we are going to talk about the Korban Mincha. So just a little bit background of the Korban Mincha, a flower offering. Somebody is going to bring a Korban Mincha. He brings the flower to the Beis HaMikdash. He puts it into a clay shares. That is the first clay shares that we're going to be talking about. And then he would put on various other things. He put on oil and lavona, etc., brings it to the Kohen. And now the avoda of the Kohen begins. There are actually four different stages. Some are more relevant than others for our Mishnah. The first avoda of the Kohen is called the kemitza. Kemitza is when the Kohen takes a fistful of the mincha. So that mincha is in the first kli shares, and the Kohen does the kemitza on it, and the part that he takes off from the mincha that he has in his hand, that's called the komets. That is what's going to be burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest, the shirayim, the leftover after the korban mincha is properly brought, then, and the fourth stage, when the komets is burnt on the mizbeach, that's called the haktara, then the shirayim, the leftover flour, will be permitted to the kohanim to be eaten. So just again, to take a step back, kemitza is the first level. That's when the first step of the kohen, he takes a fistful of what is in the kli shares, and he has it in his hand. Then matan bekli, he puts it into a second kli shares. So he takes it from the first, just a handful. The rest of it is left in the first kli shares. He puts the komets into the second kli shares. That is level number two. Level number three, stage number three, holacha, the kohen brings the komets to the mizbeach. And stage number four is the haktar. He actually burns that komets on the mizbeach. Now let's get to our Mishnah. Mishnah Ches HaMenachos. Three stages, three time periods as well, like we've seen in all the other Mishnayos in this Perek. HaMenachos, Mo'alim Be'em Mishu Huktashu. The Korban Mincha, there is a prohibition of Me'ila. That will kick in when the flour is donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Mishu Huktashu. Continuing, level number two, Katshu B'Kli. As soon as the flour is put into a kli shares, that sanctifies it, it rises it up to a higher level of kedusha, and accordingly it makes it susceptible to huchshu lipasel b'tvul yom, as we've seen in the other Mishnayos, if a tvul yom would touch it, u'mechusar kipurim, and also belina, as soon as you put it into that kli shares, you have to make sure to continue and be maktir, that means burn that komets on the mizbeach the same day, don't wait till nightfall, otherwise it becomes disqualified because of Lina. And now we get to stage number three, Karav HaKometz, at the point that the Kometz is burnt on the Mizbeach. That was the fourth of the stages that we said the Kohanim. We had the Kemitza, and we have the Matan Bekli, the second Kli Shares, and then we had the Holacha bringing it to the Mizbeach, and then the Haktar that's burning the Kometz on the Mizbeach. As soon as that happens, Karav HaKometz, that is just like doing a Zrika of the blood of an animal. So here the coin is Karav HaKometz, burns the Kometz on the Mizbeach, Chayavin Alav Mishum Pigol Noser V'tami, that is when the Chiyuv, a Pigol Noser and Tami will be applicable. And in addition, at that point that we are Makri the Kometz, just like as we saw with the Zrika, the Ein Mo'alim B'Shirayim, at that point, the Shirayim, the leftover of the Korban Mincha that wasn't taken as the Kometz by the Kohen, there will be no longer a mil'ila on that, because that is when the Kohanim are permitted to eat that shirayim, the leftover flour. Avo mo'alim b'kometz, however, the kometz part itself, that was the handful that was burnt on the mizbeach, there is continuing to be a problem of mi'il if somebody would personally benefit from it. Ad sheyete lebeis hadashen, until it is brought out together with the rest of the ash outside of Yerushalayim to the Beis Hadashen, as we've seen in various other Mishnayos previously in this Perek. The test is a fairly complicated Mishnah, and interestingly, it's going to contrast fairly significantly from the first eight Mishnayos in this Perek that have looked fairly similar. So on a high level, I'm actually going to give an overview, starting from the beginning of the Perek. What we have gone through is talking about various Karbanos. When does Mi'ila start, and when does Mi'ila end? And for the first eight Mishnayos, we've had three stages in each of these Mishnayos. We started in the first two Mishnayos talking about when somebody brings a korban from an off, either a chatas of off or an olas of off, that's a bird offerings. Then we talked about animal offerings, and then we talked about the korban mincha and other offerings. That has been our trajectory for this parak, and we saw that each of them has three stages. The first stage is when the Me'ilah starts is when the item is consecrated. For the most part, when the item is consecrated, that's when the Me'ilah is going to start. And the second stage is when there was the Malika on the animals, or the Shechita on the Malika on the birds, or the Shechita on the animals and the like, and the similar with the Korban Mincha, when you take off the Kometz. So that is stage number two, and that's not a Me'ilah issue. That's when the item is raised to a higher level of Kedush, and accordingly, it becomes susceptible to becoming Tame. For example, we talked about Tuma for a Tful Yom, or a Mechusar Kippurim, or Lina. And then the third stage that we had, throughout with certain minor exceptions within the details, but the third stage is what we didn't mention this, but this is a concept that is very relevant in Masechet Zvachim, is that when the matir was brought, is that there's an action that is done that permits something else. So, for example, we'll just start with the first Mishnah, and the third stage started with the Chuzah Dama, when the sprinkling of the blood of the Chatas Ha'of was done, and only at that point when the sprinkling is done, that's like a Zrika of the blood, at that point, that is when the Isurim of Pigol, Noser, and Tameh kick in. And the concept here, the high-level concept here, is that we have a matir. It's something that is done as an activity that is done that permits something else. So here, the Hazah of the blood, that is what permits the eating of the meat of the Korban Chatas. And accordingly, once you do that stage, the matir, you have brought the matir, you did the action of the matir, which is the hazah of the blood, that is what permits the eating of the meat, and that's accordingly what causes the Isurim of Pigul, Noser, and Tame to kick in. But if the matir hasn't been brought yet, then the Isurim of Pigul, Noser, and Tame, and actually we're talking about specifically a Pigul is what we're going to focus on, that would not kick in. It happens to be all three of them kick in at that time, but most relevant for us when we get to the last Mishnah Test, is going to be the Pigul. And that's a theme that you see throughout. That was Mishnah Aleph. But you see that in each of the third stages, that the Isurim of Pigul, Noser, and Tame, they only kick in when you are bringing, when you do the action of the matir. In other words, in the next stage, it's going to be very similar. Mitzah dama. I mean, now in Mishnah Beis, in the third stage, when you do the mitzvah of the blood, that is when, that's what matirs the, now it's not eating of the meat because we're talking about a korban ola. Korban ola isn't eaten, but the korban ola is burnt. So this is what is matir, the bringing of the korban ola onto the mizbeach. So that's when you do the mitzvah adav. That's what's matirs it to the mizbeach. And also that's what's matir the or the hide to be taken by the kohanim. So again, we have this concept of the matir, the bringing of the matir. Once the matir is brought, then, and the matir is again the blood, that is what permits other items. So in the same thing in Mishnah Gimel, we huza dama, the zrika, the blood, that is what permits. We're talking about the parim and strafim, and the stream and strafim, Mishnah Gimel, that's what permits that the burning them further out. It's not when it wasn't burned on the mizbeah for the parim and strafim, the stream and strafim, but that's what the dam is what permitted the next stages of what's matir. It could be the burning on the Mizbeach. Ola, for example, is Mishnah Dal, burning on the Mizbeach. And Mishnah Hay with the Chatas and Asham is the eating of the meat or burning the Emurim on the Mizbeach. All of these in stage number three requires the bringing of the matir. The Zrika of the Dam in all of these is what matirs the next step. And it could be the eating of the meat, if it's the eating of the meat, or it could be the burning on the mizbeach, if it's burning on the mizbeach. But it's matir. You need to be makri of them. You need to bring the matir in order for the next stage to happen. And that's the next stage is throughout when the Isurim of Pigol, Noser, and Tame kick in. And that continues with Mishnah Vav, when you have the Nizrak Dam, when you Zorek the Dam. We're talking about the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. Same thing over and over again. So that's all important background to Mishnah Tess, where it's very different. In Mishnah Tess, we talk about items that don't have a matir. They don't have something that happens prior, that happens as a condition, an action that happens as a condition in order to permit their being burnt on the Mizbeach or their being eaten. That's not what we're talking about. Now, it happens to be in Mishnah Tess, we're only talking about items that are burnt fully on the Mizbeach. So if we were following everything prior to here, we'd have a zrik of the dam or something else that happens first, and only then could we burn the items on the mizbeach. But that's not the case in Mishnah Tes. Mishnah Tes don't have something that matir them. They are independent. They may be items that matir other things, but they themselves don't need a matir to come before them. So that's how we're starting Mishnah Tes as follows. Hakomets, that is talking about the komets when you take off the hand of flour for a korban mincha. So as we talked about in the past, this you put, when somebody brings a korban mincha, you put it into a kli shares, and then you take the komets off of that. So we're talking about the komets here and the lavona. Lavona is burnt together with some korban minchas. HaKetores, the Ketores is the incense that was burnt two times daily in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar, Uminchas Kohanim. This isn't talking about a normal Korban Mincha brought by a non-Kohen, it's brought by a Kohen, and the difference is you don't take off a Komates and just burn them with Komates, and you can the Kohanim eat the Shiraim, but rather when you have a Mincha brought by a Kohen, the entire thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. Uminchas Kohen Mashiach is the daily Korban Mincha offering that's brought by the Kohen Gadol. Half was brought in the morning, half in the afternoon. The entire thing again is burnt on the Mizbeach. Uminchas Nesachim, this is certain types of korbanos animals, Korban Ola Shlamim. They were not only the animals, but they were brought together with the Korban Mincha. That's called the Minchas Nesachim. In all of these situations, this is going to sound, and this is going to be just like stage one that we've seen over and over in this parak, Mo'alin Behem Mishukuk Teshu. As soon as they are consecrated, somebody says, the flour is going to be brought for the Komets, or this Lavon is going to be brought, etc., for a Korban. As soon as somebody consecrates it, then if somebody personally benefits from that item, there's going to be an Isra Me'ila. That's the same as we've seen before. But now we're going to get different. Now we're going to start, and it's going to sound the same as stage two, but what's going to be really interesting is there is no stage two and stage three. Stage two and stage three are now collapsed together when it comes to all these items. Why is that? Because the reason that we had stage three to kick in all the others, and stage three was when the Isurim of Noser and Pigol, etc., kicked in, and that's also when the Mi'ila would end. For these items that we just listed, as we said before, there is no matir. There's no third action that permits something else here. Accordingly, all of these items we're talking about has no third stage. It's all collapsed into stage number two. So there's only stage number three and stage number two are collapsed together. And what kicks in, when do all the historians and prohibitions, limitations, that is kad shubakli. As soon as you put these items, and the exception is the komets, but all of the other items, when you put into a kli shares, at that point, you raise it to a higher level of Kedusha. Why is the komets different? Because you did it already. When we had to have, before we took the komets off, we put all the flour for the korban mincha into a kli shares already. And from that, we're taking it out. So the kli shares, the Kedusha, and the kli happened earlier when it comes to the komets. But all these other items, kachu b'kli, as soon as you put them into a kli shares, huchshiru li pasel b'tful yom, uvimachusar kipurim uvelina. At that point, as this is the same as we've seen prior, this is stage number two. We're about to get into stage number three, collapse into stage number two. So as soon as you put all these items into a kli shares, immediately the item is on a higher level of kedusha. It's going to be susceptible to tuma if it's full yom touches it, if mechusar kippurim touches it, and if you don't bring it by shkia, for example, if you don't burn that komets, the lavona, the ketores by shkia, that is going to invalidate that korban, that offering, and it won't be able to be brought there afterward. Now we're going to continue what happened in the prior Mishnayos in stage three. All of that now happens in stage number two as follows. If somebody would eat the item, the chayavim aleim, immediately there would be chayav akares, not waiting till somebody does a zrika or something else, but as soon as it's put into the klei shares, the chayavim aleim mishum nosar umishum tame, immediately if it is out of the proper time that the item should have been burnt on the mizbeach, and somebody eats it, there's going to be a chiyuv kares from when it's put into the kli shares. You don't have to wait for a matir. So that isra of nosar is going to be collapsed into stage two. Mishum tame, if there's a tame person that eats it, again, there is going to be a chiyuv kares from the time that it was put into a kli shor. It's not that you have to wait for a matir, because none of the items in this Mishnah have a matir as a precondition to getting to the next stage of burning it. You burn it on the mizbech once it's put into the kli shoris. However, what's different here again is upigul ein bam. None of these items that we're listing here will have a pigul iser. In other words, if somebody did an avoda on them earlier and had improper thoughts of chutz lizmano, I'm going to do a certain action, chutz lizmano, I'm going to be burning it outside of if it's proper time. If somebody would eat that there afterward, because only when you eat something that somebody had a improper thought of chutz lizmano and somebody eats it, there would be no iser kares, shouldn't eat it anyway, that there'd be no iser kares of pigul via eating that item. Now, why not? So the balance of the Mishnah, a little bit complicated, is going to explain that. But we've basically been through it in explaining what a matir is. So we're going to give a zeha klal. This is the general principle. And the first statement here is going to apply to all the Mishnayos up until this Mishnah, but not including this Mishnah. And then the last statement is going to explain this Mishnah, why there is no pigul on any of the items we listed at the beginning of Mishnah Test. So Zahaklal, this is the general principle, koshi yesh lo matirin. Anything that has a matir, and everything that we listed up until Mishnah Ches has a matir on it, so there needed to be a zrika, for example, before you can eat the meat, or you can bring the meru murim on the mizbe, or whatever it may be. Each Mishnah may be a little bit different, but the general rule is each of them had that third stage of having a matir. Accordingly, koshli yesh lo matir, and any item that has a matir as a precondition that it has to be brought, ein chayavim alem mishum pigol noser v'tame. There's going to be no prohibition of pigol noser v'tame ad sheikru matirav, until the matir is brought. That's why we had stages number 3 in all the prior Mishnayas, because pigul noser and tame, that didn't happen at stage number 2. It only happened in stage number 3 when the matir was brought, when there was the zrik of the dam, for example. Only then, at that point, do we have pigul noser and tame kick in. And what we're saying here is there's an isra of pigul only if you have a matir. So that's why if Mishnah Hay, the Mishnah Ches, there were matirim, there was an isra of pigul as well if we had a pigul situation. On the other hand, as it applies to this Mishnah test, v'chol she'ein lo matirin, anything that doesn't have a matir, like all the items we listed at the beginning of this Mishnah, they don't have a precondition, there's no zrika sadam or anything like that that is necessary as a prerequisite to bringing these items and putting them on the mizbeach, kaven shekadash b'kli, as soon as you put it into the kli, which is stage number 2, as we saw in our Mishnah, chayavin ala mishum nosar umishum tame, that is when the isra of no and tame kicks in. However, upigul embo, but there's no pigul because pigul only applies when there's a matir. And in all the items that we list in this Mishnah, there is no matir. Accordingly, there is going to be no pigul at stage 2, at stage 3. There's no stage 3 because there's no matir. There's also going to be no pigul at stage number 2 because there is no matir. So there is going to be no sir and tame at stage 2, no stage 3, there's no matir, and there's going to be no pigul at all, because by definition, pigul only applies when there is a matir, and none of these items have any matirin.